Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. Thank you for being here today. I'm so excited to share from God's Word, and I hope you'll take some notes today, and we're going to hit a lot of different verses. I want you to go back and read these verses, soak in what we're going to talk about, let God speak to you. I believe it can change your life and change your perspective. We're talking about all things new. That's been our series, and what we're doing is kind of centering on some of the goals we have as we move into a new year. It's 2019, about a 12th of the way through already. It's hard to believe. But many of you are goal setters. You have ambition to do things differently this year than you did them last year. And even if you're not a goal setter, we all have desire for things to be different, to be better, to have a better version of ourselves going forward. I mean, for example, is anyone here hoping that 2019 has in store for them bad health? No, right? You're not going like, I sure hope this year I get sick a lot. That's not your thing. No one here is saying, you know, in 2019, I hope I lose my job, I spend all the money I have, and I go broke and just end up with nothing. Nobody makes that something they set out to do. We talk about things we want. We want to have new experiences, new opportunities, and we want God to bless us in so many different ways. So we have goals, ambitions, things that we do to change, to be better people. Now, a lot of those goals center around our health, and today we're going to talk about issues of life, health, and what God has done for us in creating us. Now, with the issue of health, many of you right now are doing Team Lean. You have a team, you have a funny name, you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to do right. I would ask for a show of hands of who's doing Team Lean. I am not doing it. You will brag by raising your hands, and I will judge you, and I shouldn't do that in church, so we're not going to show hands. But many of you are doing Team Lean. We're hitting the stage where it could be called Team Mean, because you're getting like hunger anger. You're getting mad at everyone. We are ready for you to be done with Team Lean, okay? Well, as we talk about caring for ourselves, there's no price that we can put on good health and healthy living. It's good for us to take care of ourselves. As a matter of fact, that's why you go to the doctor. It's why you go to the dentist. It's why you try to eat right, why you try to exercise more and rest like you should, because life is so precious. So at the beginning of a new year, a lot of us are thinking about changes we need to make to take better care of ourselves. And we want to improve our diets, want to exercise more, get more rest, have less stress, do all those different things. And that's so important for us to do. It's important to have these kind of goals. And let me tell you why. Number one, if you're taking notes, life is a gift from God. That's why it's so important, because life is a gift from God. Your life is a gift. Your life matters. Your life is special. You see, God made you. He created you. It's who you are today. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. When God created the world, when he created the universe, included in that, his crowning creation was mankind. And that means not only did God create Adam and Eve, but God created you too. And he knows you intimately. He created you in this intimate fashion. Listen to Psalm 139, beginning of verse 13. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Today, I want you to see that as a baby in the womb, God brought you to life. He formed you into the person you would become. He gave life to you from the very beginning. He breathed his breath of life into your life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. There's a guy in the Old Testament, Job, in chapter 33, his name's Elihu, and he was a younger friend of Job, and he was speaking to Job about some other matters, but he makes a very succinct statement that speaks to this matter we're talking about today. He said this: the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Psalm 100 verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then Isaiah 64 verse 8, yet Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We all are the work of your hands. Scripture tells us time and time again, as we see here, that God has created all people. He made us in his image. He gives to us the precious gift of life. And I hope today that you will commit yourself to make it a frequent practice to reflect on the gift of life that you've been given, and each day to wake up and to realize, you know what? This day God made it, and he gave me life in it, and I will rejoice and be glad, as Scripture teaches me, because it's an incredible gift that we've been given, because we don't deserve life, but yet we've been given the gift of life. And life is so fragile. We know how short it can be as we think about maybe the loss of a loved one. And we have to be sure that as we go through life and we think about this gift that God has given to us, that we don't take it for granted and just go through life sulking all the time or worrying all the time, or some of us, we're prone to just race through life or even just complain through life. I know for me, I forget sometimes that life is a gift. I get down about something that isn't going the way I want it to. I get pessimistic about the world around me. I get maybe too intense about life and stressed out about things. And I need to stop and remember that life is a gift. It needs to be lived to the fullest with joy and with gratitude. As you try to take better care of yourself and be a better version of you in 2019, it can help you if you realize that life is a gift from God. That leads us to our second point. You're taking notes. Write this down. Life has immeasurable value. Life has immeasurable value. As a creation of God, made in his image, you have worth that is beyond what can be measured. Sometimes we get really down on ourselves. I think about in my life, people that know me well like to tease me because I deal with food guilt. Anybody got food guilt? I mean, I get real excited about eating something. Man, there's some Haagen-Dazs in the freezer. I'm going to go home and I'm going to kill it off. And I get so excited. I make this big bowl of ice cream. And I know it's going to taste so good and it's going to be so good. I mean, after all, I went to Publix to buy it. Have you ever walked down the ice cream aisle and all the little freezers are dark, and as you walk, they start lighting up? It's like Handel's Messiah. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just shouting out, buy me and eat me. And I go home and I tear into that ice cream and maybe put some chocolate syrup, some fudge, some Oreos, some sprinkles, some M&Ms, some cookie dough. I'm just halfway done. I mean, I just put all kind of stuff on my ice cream, and I eat it. It's so good, so delicious. And then when I get done, oh, why did I eat that? That was a bad decision. That wasn't a good decision at all. Maybe you get down on yourself about stuff, thinking that I'm not doing all the right things in life. You look at social media, and you think about how boring and bland your life is. And you're seeing people, they're traveling here and going there and buying this. And they look so happy in their photos. The house is all clean. And what you don't know is they're just cleaning one area and getting in the backdrop. And everything else is a mess. But you look at that stuff and you think, man, my life just isn't what it needs to be. And you get down about things. You don't make the money you want to make. You don't have the job that you wanted to have. You don't look as attractive, you think, as some other person you know. And you start lining yourself up with the measurements of the world, because the world loves to measure our worth based on the attributes of other people. Listen carefully. You have immeasurable worth and value because God created you. You may look in the mirror and you don't like the image that's reflected back. You think your ears are too big, your nose is too big, you're too wide, too skinny, too tall, too short. Well, however you look in the mirror, and the things you don't like, and you don't like that image staring back, but what you need to see through that reflection is that you are made in the image of God. God has given you life as a gift, and it is worth immeasurable value. You see, you're made to know God. And that's what's so remarkable about this gift of life. He's given us life, and given us a life where we could connect with him. I want you to think about something this morning. Think about how in eternity past, before God created anything, in his foreknowledge, God knew everything that would eventually happen. Right now, God knows exactly the fact that we would be here today, that I would be preaching, you'd be listening. He knows where you're going to go after this. He knows everything that is to come. And that was the same thing in eternity past. As he saw into the future, as he knew into the future, God knew the outcome of what he would create. So think about it. He makes Adam and Eve. He puts them in the garden and provides them the opportunity to live forevermore in perfect and unending peace and relationship with him. But in the fullness of God's love, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he didn't want just robots programmed to love him back as he loved them. But God wanted true relationship with us. He wanted true love to be expressed back to him just as he expresses it toward us. So God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and instead of forcing them to love him and to just leave them programmed so they wouldn't commit any sins in the future, God gave them the freedom to choose his love. So in eternity past, God knew that his creation would turn from him. He knew that Adam and Eve would choose to use their freedom to rebel against God, and yet he still chose to create them. Now that same scenario is played out in the lives of each and every one of us. God knew that you would take the freedom to love him, the freedom that he gave to you, and that you use that freedom time and time again to choose a life apart from him, to reject him. And think about this. God still created you. God still made you. And life has such great value because of the fact that God created you and allowed you to live even in your rebellion because he loves you so very much. If we could just hear the words of John 3:16 all over again for the first time. I mentioned the other day I've switched versions, and I'm now using the Christian Standard Bible, and now it's like every verse is new, and I stumble through them trying to read them. But listen to John 3:16, and just listen to these words and let them wash over you. For God so loved the world in this way. For God so loved you in this way. You are of such great value, such immeasurable value, and God gave you this gift of life. So much did he love you that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Wow! The love that God has for us, that he would create us and create us for a relationship with him. Life has immeasurable value. We are created by him and loved by him, and your life matters. Your life is of great worth. I want you to think about it. How God considers you worth spilling the blood of his own son. What amazing love. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. That God would not spare his own son, but offer him up for our salvation. That God would make us his sons and daughters. What incredible love. Some of you today, perhaps in all the struggles of life, you feel like maybe you're all alone. You feel like perhaps God's forgotten you. You feel like when you pray, no one's listening. Maybe God just has lost sight of you, but that's not the case. God loves you, and he loves you with an everlasting love, a love so great he would give his one and only son for you. You can never understand or fathom the love that God has for you. As we read a few moments ago, he forms us in the womb. He knows us intimately from womb to tomb. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible says this, that God even knows the hairs on your head, that all of them have been counted. Now, let me say a few words about something very sad and very tragic. This week, many of you, most of you saw what happened in New York and the laws that were passed that allows abortion on demand, even up to the time of birth, for essentially any reason whatsoever. And then you saw the troubling celebration after that took place as people cheered and applauded that it passed. And what the world has lost sight of is that life has immeasurable value. It's hard. It's really impossible to argue that an unborn child is not alive. There is life, and that life is precious, created in the image of God and worthy of life. God is forming that child in the mother's womb. It's a gift that God gives to us, the gift of life. It has immeasurable value. And here's the application we need to land on today. Number three, in light of those two things, I need to cherish life. Because life is a gift and its value cannot be measured, I need to cherish, first of all life. As a church, as Christian people, we are pro-life. We're pro-life concerning the unborn. We recognize that our Lord loves little children. Jesus himself said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." And listen, we're not here today to condemn those who've made wrong decisions in the past, but we need to stand for life as it relates to the present and the future. Children deserve the right to live and come to know the God who created them, the God who loves them. But what I don't want us to miss today is that it goes beyond that. To say that we are people who are pro-life, we need to have a pro-life position from birth to death. And I think one great passage that summarizes this well is Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. Provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Save them from the power of the wicked. So not only are we pro-life for the unborn, we're pro-life for a lot of other people, for all people. First of all, we need to be pro-life for the poor, those who have been taken advantage of, those who are cast aside in society as worthless, those who are trapped in sex trafficking. Scripture warns us about mistreating poor people of the world. To be pro-life is to be for the poor. I would add to that, to be pro-life means to be pro-life toward those who are immigrants, those who are of races different from your own. Now, when we talk about immigration, it's a hot topic, and I'm not going to shy away from that this morning, because really, as much as I love you, I don't really care about your politics. So, you know, we can all get in here and debate all the things that the country needs to do and the immigration crisis. And some would say there is no crisis. Others would say there is a crisis. Some would say you need to build a wall. Others would say that's not going to work. Putting aside all the Democrat, Republican nonsense for a moment, let's talk together as Christian people. We never need to lose sight of the fact that we belong to a kingdom that is greater than any kingdom of this world. Regardless of your thoughts about how to fix issues in our nation, and I could share with you political views at another time outside of preaching, and I have views that may not be dissimilar from yours, all the rest, different people have different views, but here's the deal. Being pro-life still means that we have compassion for all people, not just the unborn. It's the unborn, the poor, the immigrant, people of all races, people of all situations. The government's work and laws, they need to be addressed, whatever needs to be done. All that aside, we can rejoice over one thing, that as people are migrating, and under whatever circumstance, don't miss this, they're migrating to a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ is readily available and accessible. So the question becomes, what do we do in light of the situation as the church? Putting politics aside, what does the Church of Jesus Christ do? What does Thomasville First Baptist do? Because the scripture tells us over and over to care for the alien and the immigrant among us. So what we're trying to do, we're working hard, is to try to start an ESL ministry here at our church. English is a second language. And I would encourage you to pray about and discover whether or not God's leading you to participate in that and care for people who are really marginalized in society, people that need the love and the care and the compassion of Christian people. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be pro-life means to be pro-life for all of these categories. Another one I would give you, to be pro-life means to be pro-life toward the elderly. More and more people who are aging are seen as a burden on society. And what we need to do is show love and compassion toward the older people of our world, and especially in our own church. Again, Scripture has a lot to say about how we treat older men and women. Over and over in the Bible, it tells us about our care that needs to be expressed for widows. To be pro-life means to have compassion, love toward older people. Next, pro-life means caring for those with limitations, be it physical limitations, mental health struggles, we discover that God is compassionate on the sweet people of this world with developmental disabilities. On multiple occasions, Jesus showed compassion toward those who are marginalized because of various disabilities of all types. We need to be pro-life toward all people. We need to care for all life. Now let's go back to our beginning premise and talk about our own lives. As we wrap up today, some practical things we can learn from Scripture. If life is precious, it's a gift to us, it has immeasurable value, if we're to cherish it, we need to care for our own lives. So let me give you a few things we need to be challenged with today. In our world, we need to be careful to pay attention to our need for rest. Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Or as my translation says, "Stop your fighting and know that I am God." For a lot of us, we're fighting, we're scrapping to get ahead in life. We're just doing all we can to keep pace and to keep up. And we feel so stretched, so torn to pieces. And a lot of you feel this in your family. You feel like you're going in a million different directions and you're exhausted from it. There's this total integration of work life and home life now, as we have social media and email and text and all the rest. And we feel like we get no rest. Psalm 127 verse 2 reminds us and gives us perspective. "In vain you get up early and you stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves." In Psalm 4, verse 8, "I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, Lord, make me live in safety." Isaiah 26, 3, "You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting you." Today, I would encourage you to, as you think about becoming this better version of you, and you might think about taking better care of yourself, the importance of rest and dependence upon God, receive his peace, and stop trying to do all this stuff to make life make sense. Trust in God. Now, we joked around about diet and exercise. I don't want to talk about this one. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" Paul adds to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought at a price. So glorify God with your body." Paul recognized the fact that we have the Holy Spirit in us. We are this temple of God, and we have a responsibility, too, to care for our bodies so that we can be productive and useful to God in his kingdom work. And we need to care for our bodies. We need to recognize that life is a gift, that God has given us something of great worth and value. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 4:8, "For the training of the body has limited benefit." Now, it's limited. It's not going to fix all your problems, but it does point out there is some benefit. But godliness is beneficial in every way. We're going to talk about that next week, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Today, as we conclude, be blessed and encouraged, knowing that God has given to you the gift of life, that he loves you, he's given his son for you, and your life, no matter how you feel about it, how wrecked and messed up it is, how insecure you feel, how you feel you don't fit in or look right or have the right stuff or whatever, your life is of immeasurable worth. So cherish it. Take care of yourself and express care and compassion toward those who need it most. Let's pray together.